are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
October 7th, 2017. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today at RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. To listen to the archives of this program, select my name in RBN's archives section. Please also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and WallysBlog.blogspot.com. I also invite you to visit ScreeningSandyHook.net. During the program, email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. Do not send questions to my regular email because I won't see them until after the program. Please also visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. View our guest lineup at spingola.com. In addition to the links for each guest, I also have other interesting links relative to the guest and his or her subject. A lot has occurred since last Saturday. On October 1st, 2017, 58 people were executed and another 489 injured when gunman Stephen Paddock reportedly fired on a large group of concertgoers at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival on the Las Vegas Strip. My guest the very first hour today is Vicki Davis. Her websites are channelingreality.com and thetechnocratictyranny.com. Vicki, welcome to the program. It's been way too long since we've talked.
Hi, Deanna. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's get right to this article you've written. It's just amazing. You've put things together that I have not seen anyone else do. Of course, it's only been a week. But because of your previous research and your previous understanding of the global impact and the inland ports and the other ports, the ocean ports. And then I got to thinking, well, what about all these hurricanes that kind of clear people out? And it's just amazing. This article is just absolutely incredible. And I really appreciate you, writing it.
Oh,
and
thank you.
I have a link.
Okay. Yeah, when I first saw the name of the festival there, Route 91 Harvest, I knew that it was connected with the Canamax Corridor and intermodal commerce zones, foreign trade zones, and ports. And so, I dug right in and, you know, started putting together information for this article. And I really just have scratched the surface. I was looking this morning and, there is a foreign trade zone there in Las Vegas, and it is a global. Of course, Las Vegas is an international airport, but they've kind of convoluted the definition of a port. You know, when most people say port, they think of a seaport, but an airport can become a port for international commercial purposes. The same principles apply as for a seaport, you know, international ports run by a port authority.
Right.
And there are other businesses, of course, that reside in the port. And all of these hotels, you know, the Luxor with the pyramid and the Mandalay Bay and then this festival, they're all in an intermodal commerce zone right by the airport. So that kind of set me off, you know, to start doing this research for this article.
Mm-hmm.
Because ports, of course, they are special places. And when they're connected to or run by a foreign trade zone authority, you can have international commerce, international shipments come right directly in without being inspected, or, you know, the local sheriff can't really do anything at all because it's international.
Right. The videos and the speeches that you have within this article that you've written that I have linked on the schedule page, they admit it. Trump admits that they want to privatize things. And when you privatize things, you're actually handing public funded properties over to a foreign company that is then going to not only control it, but take profit from it.
Yeah. Well, when they redesigned our government, privatizing just about everything, I mean, it really was a fascist coup d'etat. And so essentially you have government basically being a facilitator for private profit is what,
right.
what it really boils down to. And in doing that, they've kind of constructed a, what I would call a parallel governing system. You know, we have our domestic agencies, but they also built international, corresponding international divisions within agencies. So it's, when I first found it, it seemed to me like it was kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers,
mm-hmm.
you know, where the international has just been slowly and thick. And if, you know, you pay attention to the regulations of government, in particular, things related to Agenda 21, it's almost like a foreign entity has taken over our government, and they are no longer American, but they are implementing foreign regulatory structures, is what it is.
It's globalism, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is globalism. That's how I would define globalism. It's a global governing structure. And it's a redesign of government in a way that I would say is along functional lines, whereby industries become self-governing. The banks became self-governing. The utility companies have become. So essentially they are a government and a business unto themselves through an association.
Right. Corporations. We became a corporatocracy following the so-called Civil War, and it's just gotten worse since then. And it's amazing that when I was listening to Trump, he was talking about American jobs and American, that this is really going to help America. And somehow, not that I'm a Trump fan, but somehow people who supported Trump missed the fact that he was giving American property or privatizing American property for the economic benefit of other countries.
Yes.
Because all they heard was American jobs.
Yeah, well, and his campaign actually helped that, you know, because that's all he talked about was American jobs. Well, there might be jobs on American soil, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to go to Americans. Because these international corporations, when they come in here, there's one
their own people.
They bring in their own people, and that's what happened here in the town that I live in. There's a company called Chobani Yogurt.
Right.
The corporate name is actually Agropharma, I believe, but they promised the people in Twin Falls before it was built that it was going to be jobs. You know, it was going to be so great, you know, for jobs for people here in Idaho. And it was for about the first 2 years, but then he started laying off all of his American employees and started importing Muslims and hiring refugees. And to make matters worse, the plant is located in an urban renewal zone, which all an urban renewal zone does, or an intermodal commerce zone, you know, doesn't really matter what they call the name of the zone. It becomes an entity unto itself. It owns property, and it basically draws off tax revenue. You know, when a new facility comes in, you've got to build infrastructure for that facility. But what happens with these businesses that become international in a zone is that the loans that were obtained to give the money to the business to build the business, basically buying jobs, the tax revenues then go to the authority that facilitated the deal. So you have the citizens of the town stuck with the debt for the infrastructure that had to be built, while the benefit of the corporation goes to the authority itself and to the owner of the business that can import cheap labor.
Wow.
So, and that's what happened in Detroit. You know, Detroit had a big building boom. Anytime you see a big building, look for this kind of economic development, you know, where you have economic development funds coming in, but look for a port authority, some kind of authority that has a zone, because that's where all the money is really going. That's where the money is.
Right. Now, how does all of this play into what happened last week?
Well, they've started working again on the Canamex corridor. I have a friend who has been working with people up north, and there is a group up there that are working on a scenic route off of the Canamex. If anybody is really interested in this, look at the transportation legislation from 1991 forward, and I think it was the Safety Lou legislation, big transportation bills, where they spell out all of the plans and programs for international trade corridor development.
Right.
Which is what this is. Canamex is an international trade corridor.
And you've done an immense amount of work on that. And it's just very impressive.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. And it's kind of an arcane subject area that it's kind of hard to explain. It's very simple in some ways, but the real treachery of it is difficult to explain, because people think, well, you know, roads are good, economic development is good, but it depends on who's benefiting, where's the money going, and what's it going for.
Mm-hmm.
George Herbert Walker Bush announced a new paradigm in transportation, and the new paradigm was fully technologically enabled transportation systems. It's not just highways. It includes airports and any form of transportation at all is included in the intermodal commerce design. Okay. And anyway, fully technologically enabled, which sounds really great, except when you realize that what they're talking about is the police state. Absolute, total police state. Because anything that moves is going to be tracked and traced and surveilled and, everything. So that's where all that technology came in. But when it was first marketed to people, it was marketed on the idea that it was going to help the heavily traveled corridors, you know, commute traffic and so forth. So, which is really helpful, you know, and you really appreciate that kind of thing if you're stuck in traffic in the Bay Area at commute hour.
Right. It's horrible.
Yeah,
God,
right.
I remember. Terrible.
But they linked all of these systems together so that you have, not only law enforcement, you know, traffic management, law enforcement, emergency response, border security, and when you get into emergency response, of course, then critical infrastructure is the utility systems, the water systems, absolutely everything. And that's what the fusion centers are all about. Fusion centers are the command and control centers for information collection and surveillance and everything else. So what they're building is a 21st century police state.
Yes.
And there's a lot of money involved, a tremendous amount of money. Okay, so the idea that people would be killed over a highway, yeah, they would. And without batting an eyelash because of the billions and billions of dollars that are involved.
Mm.
And what, as far as Las Vegas is concerned, I looked at Mesquite. I already knew that Mesquite was a targeted area because of the Bundy Ranch. Proximity of the Bundy Ranch to what looked to me like that they was a good location for an intermodal commerce zone. You know, just right there.
So that's what that was all about. Okay.
I believe it is, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote an transportation treason, where I have maps, you know, showing the location of the Bundy Ranch and the highway and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they really wanted Bundy off of that property.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I think that's why. Now his problems started in 1992, which is just about the right time frame because people that build roads, they're looking, you know, way out into the future. And since the international corridors, are on top of existing interstate, they would have known, you know, right away where they needed, where they would have wanted,
sure,
these zones built.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so they have to clean everything out, get rid of the things that are there and make changes so that they can move ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if they do this way ahead of time, because if people know that their property is targeted for development sometime in the future, well, naturally the price goes up. You know, so they, send out people to,
Marginalize the profitability of the property.
Yes. Yeah, to devalue it, basically.
Uh-huh.
Buy it cheap or devalue it, whatever it takes to be able to procure the property.
Right. Flood it, hurricane it, whatever it takes.
Yeah, restrict use of it. Bundy actually has, you know, he has water rights, number one, and he had grazing rights. And what the BLM was doing to him was basically regulatory racketeering. using regulation to put him out of business.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, but that property in Mesquite, I went to the Mesquite, Regional Development Organization, and they had plans there for an intermodal commerce zone. Just
wow.
Like that.
Wow. Vicki, we do have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back. This is Deanna, and our guest the first hour today is Vicki Davis. Her websites are channelingreality.com and thetechnocratictyranny.com. She has a wonderful, wonderful article with a lot of links. It's just an amazing article. It is linked today on the schedule page. I encourage everyone to study that article, click on everything, and see what it's all about. Okay, Vicki.
Okay, I have an article here on the Mesquite Regional Business website. That's www.mrbnv, as in Victor.org. And in this article, they're talking about it being an intermodal zone and ports and all kinds of stuff that if you study this, I mean, it just screams at you that this is part of the international corridor. And when I first saw the inland port system, which is what I'm talking about here, it is a system in our country of inland ports. I actually saw it as a strategic military plan for invasion. I mean, that was the first thing that came to my mind, because I saw the plan with shipping coming from Singapore to southern Mexico, up through Mexico, through these inland ports, into the United States, into Kansas City, and then spreading out from there. And, of course, you know, there was no real security in that way. I mean, you have your security at your seaports, on your seaboards, but not coming up into the breadbasket of the United States, right?
Right.
So, and that's kind of what always protected the United States, at least it seemed so, was that we were protected by the oceans. But this global transportation system, and it is a global transportation system. It's not just, you know, roads in the United States. This is a global system.
Right.
And it's all connected. It is a global plan. So these globalists are designing infrastructure for international commerce in our country. And I find that terrifying.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my goodness.
And actually, all of that started following the when the Berlin Wall came down.
Right.
And Germany reunified. And then there was the August coup attempt, alleged attempt in the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Sam Nunn said, oh, but what about your nukes? You know, afraid that Russia's loose nukes are going to get into the hands of terrorists.
Right.
So the solution to that was that they had to transport these nukes to a safe place and have a chain of custody system. That really was the beginning of the global transportation system in Eastern Europe.
Wow.
But it corresponds to the building of the fully automated transportation system in Western Europe that was started in 1985.
Wow.
And I don't believe in coincidences.
No. And you've named some names and talked about who owns what. In your article, you've talked about Elaine Chao. And it's so obvious now when you listen to her conversation. Oh, my goodness. It's just so obvious.
Did you?
And she,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you listen to the video that she did, the interview with the Bloomberg guy?
I listened to, we have a 3 minute. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest first hour is Vicki Davis. Her websites are channelingreality.com and The Technocratic Tyranny. And, yes, I did read, or I listened to that, the Chow, interview. And, there were a couple of whoops moments. She just about, well, she pretty much let the cat out of the bag.
She's not really very bright.
No, she's not. They shouldn't let her speak in public, actually.
No. Well, but I'm glad they did because,
yes.
She actually gave me a trail to follow. She was appointed first in 1989 by George H.W. Bush to be the Deputy Secretary of Transportation.
Oh my gosh.
So she's been in on this deal from the beginning.
I'll say, yes.
She was chairman of the Federal Maritime Commission. Her father was a ship's captain who was trained in communist China. And during the revolution, he made his way to Taiwan, I think it was, and then came over here to the United States and started a shipping company.
You know, gosh.
How does a refugee from China start a shipping company? The name of the shipping company is Foremost Shipping.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, and she was over in the Baltics when the United States was over there trying to help the after the Soviet Union kind of fell apart and the they became the independent commonwealth or something like that. She was one of the people working for the Peace Corps that was over in the Baltics, and they brought businessmen over to supposedly try and train the people over there in capitalism, in starting businesses, entrepreneurship, and all of that.
And the Bushes were in Russia also after the fall, and they got their share.
Yeah, Condoleezza Rice was one of the advisors along with Philip Zelikow.
Oh, gosh. Just gets dirtier and dirtier, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing, you know, when you follow these off the beaten path
people,
linkages.
Yes. Yeah. You have to look at the past. Past is prologue. The at the bottom of your article, and you are a writer for TVOINnews.net.
Yes, okay, TVOINnews.net. That's the Voice of Idaho News.
Oh, okay. Okay. At the bottom, oh gosh, of this article, you say, do you remember the stories of the public executions at the stadium in Kabul, Afghanistan? And so you've linked other events to what happened in Las Vegas, in a way that no one else has.
I'll tell you why. Because in the funding for intermodal commerce zones, they can get grants from the federal government for facilities that are in the public interest.
Oh.
And you've heard about the stadiums, I'm sure, you know, the boondoggle of the stadiums, where stadiums are built, paid for by taxpayers.
Oh, yes.
For billionaires?
Like what the Bushes did in Texas with their big stadium. They got bonds passed, got the stadium built with public money, and then they took it over and made all the money. What?
Yeah.
And I wrote an article about this. See, what a bunch of corrupt, well.
Well, that's why I always look for two things. I look for golf courses and stadiums.
Yes.
Because those are the two things that are, quote, in the public interest.
Uh-huh.
And so they can get federal grant money, federal funding for those things. And they're trying to build one right now in Boise, a new stadium. And it has nothing to do with the market. I mean, in a normal business world, business environment, developers don't build things unless there is a market for it.
Sure.
Unless there is a demand in the market. But that's not the way this economic development system is working today. It's like a cookie cutter plan that they have for development of corridors.
Right.
Now, on my website, The Technocratic Tyranny, I have an article called "It's a Cookie Cutter World," and that is about an international corridor in Pakistan that they're building, and it will follow exactly the same pattern. It is exactly the same. That's why I called it Cookie Cutter World, because it connects from a seaport. It's an international corridor. This one they're calling a knowledge corridor. It will require the building of course, telecommunications. You've got to have the telecommunications. And at the point when you have that, then you have the automated transportation system. See, it's all part of the design of the global transportation system.
Mm-hmm.
Fully technologically enabled. And so they use the same cookie cutter design throughout the world. Over in Africa, they're doing the same kind of development work, same kind of design work. And as a matter of fact, in Benghazi, I found that in Benghazi, what Chris Stevens was actually over there for was a meeting with a hospital, the emergency room.
Oh.
Because the emergency rooms, of course, are tied to highway transportation, right?
Sure.
And so that's where the global health system comes into play. Global system also. And the Clintons are the ones that are leading the effort on global health.
Right. And they started that a long time ago. And of course, Obama got it, the Affordable Health Care Act through. And people don't understand what that is. They don't understand the implications of that act. They think that they're going to have more access to health care. No. The government is going to have more access to everybody's body. They will own you lock, stock, and barrel. If you don't want a vaccine, they're going to say, well, look, you have to have it because you've got the insurance, so you can't say you can't afford it. You're getting a vaccine or whatever. Whatever project or whatever procedure they want to do on a person, they will own you.
Yes. That's how people will ultimately lose freedom totally. Because all these systems won't get a vaccination, well, you can't have a job.
Right.
Or your child can't go to school, or your wife can't work at the hospital, or whatever it is that they can use, they will use, and they will have all the information to be able to do that, to control your life totally.
Right. And of course that's already true in many places. In California and other places. What happens in California usually moves east and occurs in the rest of the states.
Yeah, we need a big wall.
Yeah.
Pray for an earthquake.
Oh my goodness. I have friends in California.
I have relatives there too. I don't mean that totally, but
I know.
I've been trying to get him to leave. He needs to get out of there.
Yes. Yeah.
But they are globalizing our systems of government in this whole big redesign of our government. They designed it to be an internet-based, you know, so that and they partnered with corporations. And, of course, things have been turned around so that government really is a tool of these technology corporations. They're using it as a tool against us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've made the American people the enemy of the government, basically, because our government has gone international in this whole redesign.
Right. Now, you made some points in your article about who was in control or who was handled the production in Las Vegas. You talk about an organization called Live Nation. And you also, well, you mentioned public execution, which that term just stuck with me. And this is what it was. A lot of people said, oh, it was a hoax. There were crisis actors. No one died and on. But we do know that people did die. And, yes, they were executed. I think that word is incredibly important. But tell us about Live Nation and what else they were in charge of.
Uh-huh. Live Nation is a, it's an events type company that puts together concerts and sponsors them and sells tickets and so forth. They are the same organization that organized the concert over in Manchester, England, where the, Ariana, gosh, I can't,
what was her Grande? Grande?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't keep up with these people, but,
yeah, I don't either. But anyway, her concert where there was a bombing or a shooting or something, it was the latest event over in the UK. So it was the same company that sponsored that concert that, that put together and sponsored the Route 91 Harvest concert, which I think is just too coincidental.
Indeed.
and it's on the property of MGM. The festival grounds is on the property of MGM, and Dubai Ports World owns a piece of the MGM Grand, and there is a working relationship with Dubai.
Wow.
Okay, and I don't know if I mentioned this or not already, but in 2006, you remember when Dubai Ports World tried to take over management of six ports on the eastern seaboard?
Yes.
Okay. It actually turned out to be 12 ports that they were trying to take over. But that is all part of the privatization. You know, privatization of ports. That's why Costco has the Port of Los Angeles or Long Beach. I forget which one it is. But it's all part of the privatization. And if you privatize everything in government, then you're really not a government anymore. You're just you're a facade of a government, and your government is really being run by the corporations that own the function, you know, whatever the function is.
Right.
And so,
and this began, as I mentioned earlier, this began right after the so-called Civil War, and it's just been incrementally getting stronger and stronger and stronger since mm-hmm. that time.
Yeah, when they declared that a corporation was a person.
Right.
Yeah, they basically displaced real people for corporations.
Right.
So we became the second class citizens, slaves of the corporations, essentially.
Right.
But in, I think it was 1989, George Herbert Walker Bush signed an executive order to sell off all of our infrastructure.
Well, I know that there are roads here in Chicago, in the Chicago area, that are owned by foreign corporations. And I would assume that is true of other large cities, that the roads, the toll, especially the toll roads, well, toll roads, because they're making money off of these. And initially the toll roads were to pay for the highways that were being built. But then they implement these things and then they never get rid of them. It's just like Social Security. We're just going to use this for a little while. But then once it's in, it stays in forever. And so you have toll roads, well, all over the country, I think.
Yeah. Well, when the interstate was built, it was built with taxpayer money and, mm-hmm. They weren't allowed to make them toll roads.
Right.
But George Herbert Walker Bush changed that.
Yes.
So that they could start selling off, sections. Now, this whole thing about we need new roads and bridges, our infrastructure is crumbling, all that stuff. If they would spend the money on the actual physical infrastructure, we'd have plenty of money. But it's all the IT systems that they're putting in that we can't afford. This is all very expensive technology and very expensive people to hire to put it in. And so, yeah, taxpayers can't afford this. And so, that's why they're privatizing it so that, and leasing it out, these long-term leases to foreign corporations, which is the same thing, by the way, that they did over in Europe.
And Greece.
And Greece.
Yes, yeah. You mentioned Greece.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so basically we have this global, entity, global system that's being built that's going to absolutely control all movement.
Right.
You know, what made our economy grow when they built the interstate out here so that out here in the West, and, you know, I was a kid. I remember when they were building it. And, you know, the transition from highways to interstates, it made commerce much cheaper. But if they put toll roads everywhere, commerce is going to be a lot more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And Elaine Chao, the Secretary of Transportation, just recently announced the transportation budget, and she said that the federal part is going to be a few hundred billion, but they have a trillion dollars worth of mandates.
Wow. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes. Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest the first hour has been Vicki Davis. Her websites are channelingreality.com and thetechnocratictyranny.com. And we need to have you back soon. But let's finish this up by relating the Las Vegas shooting and the fact that it does play into what is occurring, that they wanted to have this property. And certainly there were a lot of people saying, I'm never going to attend a public concert again.
Yeah, no. And I, the design of a, you know, where they had all of these people corralled in a, festival and an open air festival. And, they were able to shoot into the crowd. That just reminded me of the Kabul Stadium.
Right.
You know, where they would bring people out for public executions. And, in the image that I first looked at, where I saw the Route 91 harvest, and then there's the pyramid with the light shining out, you know, at the top, that's the
right.
Luxor. And then down below that, it looks from a distance like a dollar bill. And so I don't believe in coincidences. These things are not coincidences. And, with our government basically forcing the states to sell off infrastructure and all of the support for these foreign businesses that come in and then bring in their own people, it seems like our country is being sold out from under us.
It is.
And Americans are being displaced from our own country.
We are.
Yeah. And it's the highways, the international corridors, and the zones, the intermodal commerce zones, that if you study the system that has been established there, you can see that it, and it's for total control.
Indeed. Wow. Well, I certainly do appreciate what you've gathered together and all the work that you did. And I hope that people will visit your website and look at your previous work, because you have, this isn't just something you came up with. This is something that you've been working on for years. And you have built the foundation that now you can take a look at this and really give us a really good idea of what occurred and what probably may occur in the future.
Yeah. Well, if we're not able to get this stopped, if we can't get people to understand how we've been sold out, the future is so grim, for our grandchildren and their children. I mean, and it's not just American children. It is
everybody's children.
It's everybody's children, because this global system, these people are monstrous. What they're doing is monstrous. When you see the layout of the whole thing as they've designed it, it's total planetary control by just a very few people.
Yes, and chosen people.
Yeah, and they really don't care about us. I mean, we are nothing. Less than nothing.
Right.
Disposable.
Yes. Well, thank you so very much, Vicki. Bless you for the work that you do.
Well, thank you. And anybody, go to my websites and do searches. Use the search boxes and search on terms, and you'll just find a wealth of information on this stuff.
How true. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we'll be right back.